Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Just like that little funny little video showed us, we all have a reason to celebrate today, whether we're a mom or not. We can just thank the Lord that we have a mom. Not one of us would be here today if we did not have a mom. But I'm going to keep my remarks really brief because these ladies told me before they're a little nervous. They might not be able to get everything in they want to say, so I want to give them all the time that they need. But the Lord really put on our heart for Mother's Day that we wanted to get some folks up to share, because if we're a mom, we know we need all the encouragement that we can get, right? We want good, sound, godly advice. And I have to say, you know, I've been a mom now for 22 years, and all my kids are different. And we've got one in the house now who, the new term is adulting. That is a word now, I have found out. And so I've got one that's adulting, but I realize that my other two, I have a way to go before they are adulting, and they're all three very, very different creatures. So I'm like, what worked with the first one? She seems to be turning out okay, but I'm like, I can't just assume that what worked with her is going to work with the next. So I'm looking forward to what they have to share today. So first, let me get my glasses on so I can read. I don't want to screw up anybody's information here. So we have Allison. And Allison is kind of coming from the perspective today of our stay-at-home mom with young kids. And she's been married to Tim for 14 years. She has three kids, Bella, who's 11, Lily, who is 9, and Colton, who is 7. And one little bit of tidbit information you might want to know about her is she actually started out in ministry on staff here at our church. She was one of our campus ministers for about 6 years. And she even worked, I think, in the office a little bit, didn't you? So she's been on our administrative staff before. And but she kind of stepped away from that so she could be a mom. And now that her kids are getting a little age on them, the Lord has put her back in ministry. And she is now the head of our Flourish Women's group here, which is our children, our women's ministry here at the church. And next we'll have Angela Haskins, Dr. Angela. She is our working mother. She is an OBGYN, and she works at Greenville OBGYN, and she's been there for 10 years. She has three kids, Matthew 10, Naomi 7, and Jada 3. And so not only does she have children in our children's ministry, I think she delivered a few of them back there. Am I right? So talking about taking your ministry to a new level in the church, she's really family. But she moved to North Carolina in 2004 to begin her OBGYN residency. And she's been married to James for 12 years. And they started attending GCF soon after that. So they've been with us a while too. And last but definitely not least is Sandra Stinson. She is our mom who now has grown kids and who is also a grandmother and a real example of what a spiritual mother is. And she's going to share a little bit about that later. But I tell you, she's been married now for almost 53 years, and her husband, Billy, wrote a nice little bio about her, and it was just too good for me not to read it exactly the way he wrote it. And here is what he said. Everybody's like, what did he say? He said, Sandra Stinson is a teacher. It's as simple and complex as that. She has been teaching Spanish for 30-some years and currently works at PCC in the distance learning program. Teaching is a way of life for her. She has two grown daughters, working and happy. One husband, working and happy. She loves God. It's as simple and complex as that. She is sacrificial and more like a copper top battery than a snail. She never stops. And so I present to you a wonderful, loving mother, wife, servant, and leader, Sandra Stinson. Isn't that sweet? If your family can say that about you, you've done something right, correct? So let's give all these women a hand for taking the time out to share with us today.
So I'm sharing on, I guess, being the stay-at-home mom and having the younger kids. And I was joking with TD. I call him TD. That's how I was introduced to him. Most people know him as Tim. But TDs suck. So I was joking with him yesterday because I had cleaned up the kitchen. No one, I even swept the floor. Which doesn't get done every time, but I even slept the floor. No one had been in the kitchen, and he walks in, and there's a pile of crumbs on the floor, like chunks, really, not crumbs. There's chunks of bread on the floor, and I'm like, how is this here? I literally just swept the kitchen. And so I thought of the quote, the definition of insanity is doing the same exact thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I'm like, whoever came up with that definition clearly was not a mother. Because I would beg to differ that that is motherhood. I do the same thing over and over and over, day in, day out, and I expect a different result. They tell me it's coming, so I'm believing in faith, and y'all can believe with me that it's coming. I'm like, I tell my kid, like, saying, I have one kid I have to ask every day, did you put on deodorant? Like, it's a surprise. Every day, you got to put on deodorant. I have a kid I have to ask every day, did you brush your teeth? Like, it's a surprise. We do this every day. Anyways, that's not what I'm talking about. that's not the spiritual advice I have for you. Stay faithful. That's the advice. All right, I lost my place. But being a mom is hard because it is mundane sometimes. And you're like, I have a college degree. There's more to me than this. But remaining faithful in the mundane is where it's at. And you're emotionally, spiritually, mentally invested in these people. But also in yourself as a parent. Like, I want to be the best parent I can be. But I want to be them to be the best person that God has called them to be. So it's double duty. So when you, and as a mom, you're the manager of the household most of the time. Like, I mean, from the get-go, like, if you read Baby Wise, you're like, oh, I've got to get them on the schedule. I'm going to get them, you know, da-da-da, the schedule. And then at this stage, my kids are all in activity, so I manage the schedule. I manage the taxi cab service. I'm like, this child has baseball practice, then he has soccer practice, while these two have dance and soccer. You've got to go here. We've got to run through the drive-thru on this day, but we can't do it on that day. So I have to make a plan, but at any moment, be willing to throw the plan out the window. That's motherhood. So it's being able to multitask, but also being willing to throw the plan out the window. But, and so it's hard because you're like, I put all this effort into it, but it may just fall to pieces. And you want to have a good attitude about it. But, I mean, we're human, so I don't always have a good attitude about it. So all that to say, I'm in a moment of motherhood. Early on, actually, it was our anniversaries at Christmas. I was pregnant with our second child. We go away for our anniversary. TD's looking forward to, you know, a weekend away. And our oldest had hit the wonderful toddler stage where they're just toddler terror, really. And our whole weekend was, what are we going to do about this child in like my mind? And so it wasn't really this romantic getaway that he had hoped for. It was, we have got to pray and get on our knees, and we're not leaving this hotel room until we have met with Jesus for this child, because we can't bring this other child into the world until this child is taken care of. And the Lord spoke to me through my husband, maybe, or his prayers. The Lord gave me this verse, and this is the verse that I want to share with y'all. Moms, here is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And as a mom, a lot of times, it's hard for us to be still and know that he is God. He is on the throne. He is in control. Even though we have to come up with the schedule, we have to run the taxi cab service, we are the ones who deal with the tantrums. Sometimes our own tantrums, sometimes maybe our husband's tantrums, but he is the one who is on the throne. It's not up to us. And so taking that time to come away and be still before God. And so even in that, though, I'm not talking about reading, I mean, yes, read your Bible, but I'm not talking about, like, come with your agenda to study the Word, and because I love a deep Bible study. I kind of nerd out on it. And the Lord was like, no, just come and be Allison, come and be my child before me. No agenda, no prayer list, and just be. And so in doing that, you get it, it's that second part of the verse, you know God. When you are still, you get to know God, and you know his thoughts, because hopefully when you're quiet, you are still, you're quiet. And so you get to know God, and you get to hear his thoughts about you, about your children, about your home, about your family. But it also in that, because also as a mom, a lot of times you feel overlooked, unheard, unappreciated, because you're serving all the time. And you're like, Because I'm sure what happened yesterday is one of my kids came back for the extra cinnamon roll they left on the counter, but I didn't see it. That's how the crumbs got there. And they probably saw the crumbs. They just were like, Mama, get them. So I'm like, why can't y'all wipe that up? But God knows it. God sees you. God sees. So in the knowing, yeah, and you hear God's thoughts, he knows you. He sees you. He hears you. And he truly cares. He cares about the crumbs in those moments. So I urge you, no matter what season of motherhood you're in, or even season of life, really, take time to be still. I actually practically, I'm like, if you know me, you know I'm a scheduler. I practically schedule out once a month a date with the Lord. And it's a morning where I don't have an agenda and I don't have an appointment to get to. I don't have to rush out that morning. And I just take that time to be with God. But, okay, if you don't have that, what does it look like? If you are a runner or you like to walk, then don't take the earbuds. Just be with God. Or, okay, if you don't even have that, I mean, God's with us all the time. You're sitting in carpool. I sit in carpool. It's not fun. I'm like, that's time wasted. I spend an hour probably a day sitting in carpool. It's not fun. So take that time and turn off the radio, put your phone down, and be still with God. Driving home, turn off the radio and be still with God. There's quiet times in your day. We have so much talking at us in our culture today that we can turn it off. We just got to create the space and take the self-discipline to turn it off and to tune our ears to be still. So the last thing that I felt like I just wanted to share before I hand it off is another verse from 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Because I feel like our culture, all the hashtags or whatnot, they sell a mom. The look is that, you know, you're not a mom unless you have a messy bun, leggings on, you're tired with your cup of coffee, trying to escape to, like, your holy land of Target. And so I'm like, no, that's not what we as Christian moms want to sell. Okay, and I'm like, I'll confess, I like Target, and I do escape to Target, and I make a lap sometimes. I don't buy anything; it's a happy place. And so sometimes you do need to get away, and physically, I get tired, but spiritually, I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, and it's not like my love tank or my Holy Spirit tank is ever low. It's just, have I tapped in? So, you know, moms always have to, like, problem solve and make adjustments on the fly. And we don't always feel like we've got it all together. But if we tap in, because greater is he who's on the inside of us than he who's in the world, then we have everything we need. We have the power that we need. We have the faith that we need. We have the grace that we need. It's just, are we going to respond to our flesh or react in our spirit? So just real quick, I have to share this story. It happened this week, and in light of, I told Catherine I was going to share it. In light of me sharing, I was like, this is the epitome of motherhood. Wednesday night, we're at my son's baseball game. He plays on his cousin's team. My nephew had a game right after, so all the cousins and my kids were like, yeah, let's go to Isaac's game. Let's go to Isaac's game. So I want to be that mom. I want to be fun mom and say, yes, let's do this. And my kids weren't bad that night. They were just kids. They were whining. They were hot. They didn't bring their water. I told them to bring water. I'm like, they were just being kids. And so I was like, okay, we'll go. And in my head, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to blow their minds. We're going to go to McDonald's and get an ice cream cone. So somehow, though, between our feet hitting the grass and going to the car, kids were hitting and kicking and calling names and fighting. And I'm like, what happened? And I'm like, stop it. Stop it. Would you stop? Not another word. Get in the van. And I had gone from, I'm going to be the yes mom and I'm going to take y'all for ice cream, to, I'm going to lose it. And we get in the van, and TD's like, do we have to really do this now? And I'm like, we'll just go. We'll just go to the game and not get the ice cream, okay? And so then, I mean, they are still, like, losing it in the van. And I'm like, can y'all just get it together? I'm trying to say yes. Can you get it together? And they're like, I don't understand. And I'm like, me either, really? And and so finally, I'm like, we can't. I'm just going to have to take you home at this point. Like, we just cannot do this. And so then I'm terrible, Mom. We go home. I get two in the shower. I'm sitting on the porch with the other one. Well, she wants to get baptized. And so because the campus minister in me is still there, I'm like, you have to do the purple book then. So we're sitting on the front porch doing the purple book and talking about sin and salvation. And she begins to confess all these sins that she's hiding candy in her room. I mean, but like, I'm like, okay, that's not okay. But she's like crying. This is real to her. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's just give it to Jesus. And but we have this moment of like the Holy Spirit showed up. She's touched. It was awesome. But I'm like, y'all, that's motherhood. We went from we were fine to I'm going to leave y'all on the corner to Jesus showing up on our front porch. And then in a matter of an hour and 15 minutes. Okay? That's motherhood. And all you have to do is tap in to the Holy Spirit living within inside of you, and you'll make it.
All right. And so I'm going to stand because there is hardly any time in my life where I sit for more than 2 minutes at a time. And it really is uncomfortable for me to sit for more than 2 minutes at a time. James will tell you I will fall asleep if I sit for more than 2 minutes at a time. So not wanting to do that, I would like to just thank Pastor Eddie for the opportunity to speak. This is not usually my forte, as I tend to let my husband do a lot of the speaking because he does such a good job at that. And so I love listening to him. But that being said, thank you, James. That being said, I could not be here today without thanking my partner. When you're a working mom, you depend on many different people around you to form a village around you. And my partners have been godly influences in my life, even when I was a resident and I was introduced to them. So Dr. Avery, God bless him, asked his wife if he would be allowed to spend 2 hours of the day today while I was at church so that I could be here, because I'm actually on call right now. So I would like to thank my partner and his wife for sacrificing today. But when Pastor Eddie asked me to speak, one of the things he said is, you know, we've been doing this series about being overwhelmed. And as a working mom, that is something I'm very familiar with. And I wanted to at least be a little transparent and open about kind of what that means and what the Lord has done in my life through many people. And so one of the things I did is define overwhelmed. He did this, but I wanted to just go back to what that means. It's to be completely overcome or overpowered by thought or feeling. And when you think about that, I think of drowning. You know, the water's above your head. You know, you can't breathe. You can't look around you. You can't see anything else that's going on because of those thoughts or feelings. And the devil really wants us to keep us overwhelmed. If the devil can keep us overwhelmed, then we are powerless to be able to be light to the world. And that's something that I wanted to bring forward so that you can understand the importance of conquering those feelings and those thoughts. One of the things I thought about too is that example of when you're on an airplane. You know, they always tell you at the beginning of the airplane safety demonstration. You know, these oxygen masks will come down. Put your own mask on before you put your child's mask on. And as moms, my first instinct is, well, that makes no sense. I'm putting my child's mask on before I'm putting my mask on because they need it more than me. And one of the things the Lord has shared with me is that's actually not true. If you do not put your own oxygen mask on first, you will not be able to put your child's oxygen mask on. And even better, if you did, if the plane really does go down, who's leading your child out the plane? So it's really important as moms. Now, some people are like, what are we talking about airplanes? But it's really important as moms that we learn to put our own oxygen mask on. And that would be that we learn to tap into God's power and God's might and God's control over our lives. Okay. So I wanted to go over a few things, probably examples, really, of what things have looked like in my life when it comes to that. Outside looking in, a lot of people will tell you that I look very calm, cool, and collected. There's not too many things that rattle me. And that's true for the most part. The honest truth is that I really don't let too much bother me or get to me. And God just designed me that way. And that's a quality that's very good to have in your doctor, by the way. But it can also be difficult, probably being my wife. I mean, there's times that James will look and say, I can't read you. I don't know what's going on. Are we good? Are we bad? Are we okay? I really don't know, you know. Your expression has not changed. There's nothing that is going on. We just need to check in. Are we good? Is there something I should be doing? And so, I mean, think about that. That it's good, but it's also can be bad in some instances. And so there are some times, though, that I do get overwhelmed. And it's usually, let me tell you, it's usually when I'm the most tired, when I have done the most things, have gotten the most out of your day as possible. And that's when the devil really tries to sneak in with his lies of who you are and what you should be doing. And as a mom, you know, are you really the best mom, you know? If you can't commit the time to your children, are you really doing what God has called you to do? And I truly struggled with this when I first became a mom because I started working when Matthew was about 5 months old in my practice. And I found that one of the things I struggled with, even while I was on maternity leave, was this idea of what is Christian motherhood. And there were a million books out there on Christian motherhood. And, you know, when you're an academic type person, you're going to read all these books. So I had all these books. I read Baby Wise. It didn't do a thing for any one of my children, okay? Not one of them. I followed the rules of Baby Wise exactly, and not one of my children responded to that, okay? Every one of my children stayed up at night until they were at least 9 months to a year old. They never slept a single night through until they were 9 months to a year old. Just so you know, that is a difficult thing to do. Why did I do it 3 times? I'm still unsure. But, you know, one of the things that really helped with that, one, I had a wonderful husband. We did shift work, you know. I took the, you know, late night shift to 2 a.m. He took the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And God bless us, our children are alive, healthy, and living and not dead. So, you know, sometimes you just have to thank God for survival, okay? And so during those times, there are some, you know, things that I want to make sure you're aware that when you don't have that support around you, we did not have any family here until recently. And we relied on so many other people to get us through that, you know. We relied on friends. We still have a wonderful babysitter she's in her 80s. She has been with us from the very beginning with Matthew. And even when you have that support and people around you, you still have that doubt that the devil tries to put in when you're the most tired and when you're the most worn down. And I will tell you, one of the biggest gifts that God has given me is faithful friends. The women in this church, unless you get to know them and get to really dive into who they will pour into your life even when you're not asking them to. There are times where there's a text that's sent or an email that's sent. Hey, listen to this podcast. Or, hey, I've been in my prayer time and the Lord is just telling me I need to pray for this. And it's just the thing that you were thinking about that day. And all of a sudden, wow, you know, here's my friend texting me saying, I'm praying for this, you know. When you have a prayer request or a need, hey, there is literally no one who can go get our child. Can somebody, you know, go over there? There'll be like a mass text sent out, and everybody is looking for, who can do it? Who can do it? Can you do it? Well, if you pick up my kids from baseball, I'll be able to go over there. So understand that we live in a village. We are not to do this alone. Godly women are supposed to support other godly women. And that is biblical. There are times in scripture where the Lord just looks at women and says, you know what? You need to look the older women to support the younger women, the younger women to support the even younger women. It's always been a point in scripture that to whom much is given, much is required, and that we all need to support one another. Okay, so that's one example. The second example I would give, and James doesn't even know this example because it wasn't even worth sharing because it wasn't anything he did. Okay, so let me start out with that. There was nothing he did wrong. Okay. But I, for those who don't know, when I take call, I'm on for a 24-hour shift. And so it starts out by I go to work from 8 to, you know, usually 5:30, 6 o'clock. Sometimes we'll have meetings afterwards. And this was one of those times where we had meetings after work. And so I actually got home at about 6:30, and then my call starts at 7. So I basically ran home, changed clothes, said hi to my kids. Oh, great day. And then ran back out the door. And then they didn't see me again until 8 o'clock the next night. So consider that. And I had had one of those calls where I literally got no sleep. Literally something was going on from the minute I showed up at 7 until 7 o'clock, actually till 8 o'clock the next night because a patient of mine was delivering and she was pushing. And I said, no, I'm not going to leave her. I'm going to stay and we're going to deliver this baby. And she delivered a little after 8, so it was a little over my 24 hours. But by God, God is faithful, and I just wanted to be there for her. And but in doing that, when I got home, when I tell you my tank was empty, I had nothing. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to breathe. I didn't want to eat. And for me, that is huge. If you get me to the point where I don't want food, then I'm either sick, you need to call the doctor, or you need to just throw me in the bed right now. And so when I go into the garage, the first room that I see out of my house is my kitchen. Keep in mind that for the last 2 days, James has been a single father of 3 children, getting them from activities to school, doing 2 girls' hair, doing everything known to man, cooking, cleaning, the whole bit. And he had used, I think, every pot, every dish, 2 cutting boards. I mean, the kitchen, I don't think I've ever seen the kitchen that way, and I don't think it's been that way ever since. But the devil knows when you're at your low, and he knows how to get you. So, yes, at this day, I came in, and the kitchen was absolutely destroyed, okay? And, of course, he's nowhere to be found because he's doing what? He's taking care of the kids. He's putting the, you know, like I said, my kids don't go to sleep a lot. So Jada is up and she's wired and he's taking care of her and he's super dad. He's doing it. But the first thing I thought was, how in the world? Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Did he have to use 2 cutting boards? He couldn't have cleaned one and put the other back up? He couldn't have, like, cleaned one pot and used that one to do the next meal? I mean, what it? Guys, he cooked. My children get a hot breakfast every day. They have never had cold breakfasts in their life. Thank you. Exactly. Making me look bad too. All right. So, but that is the context. And so I just couldn't do it. I was just, I went upstairs to our like bonus room where nobody's hanging out. And what did I do? I texted a friend, because in times of need, that's what you do. So I reached out to Leslie, and I said, you know, I'm like, Leslie, I just can't do it. You know, I'm tired. I'm worn down. The kitchen is a disaster. What am I supposed to do? And she said, you know, you're just tired. Just go to bed. It'll be better tomorrow. She didn't say, how dare he, or, you know, something wrong, or anything like that. She just spoke the truth. You're tired. Go to bed. It's going to be fine tomorrow. You know, and you know, for all those who grew up with superwomen in their house, you're supposed to actually wash the dishes and clean the kitchen before you go to bed, right? That's how it's supposed to work. Let me tell you the reality in my house. That's not my reality. And so I decided that come what may, those dishes were going to sit. And I wasn't going to do them. I'm not doing it tonight. And so I went to bed. I got up the next day. And all of a sudden, it was like the sun was shining. The birds were singing. Life was good. I got to those dishes, and I was humming a little bit as I'm doing them. Humming the dishes. I'm putting them in the dishwasher. Ran that load. After that load finished, dried them, put another load in. I mean, there were 2 full dishwasher loads of dishes, just so you know the context of this story, okay? He was working. It was work. okay? And so one of the things I wanted to share with you when it comes to being overwhelmed is that you have to look to godly women to help you in your situation. And Proverbs 27:17 does say, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And we should all be seeking to do that, whether that help is sought out, like as when I sent that text to Leslie, or whether it was just you're going about your day and you think about somebody. I'm guilty about this sometimes, too, where I'll think of someone during the day, and instead of texting them and say, Lord, you know, I'm just praying for you right now, I like kind of, oh, I'm too busy for that right now, move on. But the reason the Lord shares things with us, it gives us a sense as women of what we should be doing, is sometimes there's a need out there you don't even know. Listen to those feelings. If there's someone that's on your mind or something that's on your mind, or, hey, you know, I read this good book, I'm going to share it, or, hey, this podcast was awesome, I'm going to share it. There's somebody on the other side of that that truly needed it. You know, whether you knew it or not, whether you got any type of feedback on it or not, just do it. Send that message out. Send that text out. Share that book, whatever it is. And you'll find that it may be years later before someone comes back to you and says, you know what, that moment really helped me in a time of need for me. Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention just as a final number three is, as women, we need to learn to say no. And I have learned this in many things, that there are many things that are profitable and good, or, hey, you know what, the Lord is working in that organization, or, hey, it's such a good cause. And I've had to learn as a working mom that somebody else needs to do that sometimes, that I can't do every good thing, you know. There are boards out there, Feed the Homeless, Carolina Pregnancy Center, I actually do that one. But there are a number of different things that will be near and dear to your heart that you'll say, I need to step into that. But the Lord may not be in it. The Lord may be saying, that's a great cause, I want you to pray for that cause, but you don't need to be doing that right now. I have a purpose for you over here. And you need to be sensitive to God's purpose for where you are in your life, okay? Because it may change. When I think of Proverbs 31, you know, I used to be intimidated by that chapter. The Proverbs 31 woman, she does it all. She's got it all. She's got it together. And then one of my long-time mentors said, you know, Proverbs 31 was a chapter meant for the course of this woman's life. This was through the course of her life. This wasn't one year in her life, one day in her life. This was her entire life. And so you don't necessarily have the ability to do everything well at every point of your life. And when you have young children, maybe you can't, you know, serve on that board over there that's a passion of yours, okay? When your children are older, you might be able to get back to it. And so I want us to really be heeding the Spirit and where he's leading us for where we are right now. Not that that's not a good cause, but it may not be a good cause for right now, okay? So learn to yield to the Spirit and what he's leading you to do, and use your time wisely as moms, because that is where the fruit later on will be revealed, is when your children later on look back and say, you know, you invested in us instead of that good thing over there, okay? So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I hope that helps someone.
Well, obviously, I don't have young children at home anymore, although I do get to enjoy my grandkids a lot. And the nice thing about grandkids is that you really get to enjoy them and don't have so much responsibility with them. They come and visit, and they go home. Or they come and visit and stay 4 or 5 days, but then they go home. So Billy and I are exhausted when they leave. All the time, but it's wonderful. Grandkids are wonderful. Well, a little bit. First of all, I lost my mom and my dad relatively early in life. My dad passed when I was 16, and my mom when I was 18. And so Billy often says that he married an orphan, because he never met my parents. And so when I became a mom and a grandmom and a spiritual mom, I didn't have a model to look at, and I didn't have someone, a mother to come alongside or a grandmother to come alongside. And so I had to rely on the Lord to teach me how to be a mother. And of course, I had the support and help of my wonderful husband, who always supports me, and dear, dear Christian friends, as Angela was sharing. Your believing friends are a wonderful, wonderful anchor for your life, with children especially. Being a mom is one of the greatest blessings in life, but it's also one of the biggest challenges, and it requires a lot of sacrifice. I'm a mom to two beautiful daughters. They're both adults and grown with their own families now. But let me tell you that you never, ever stop being a mom. It never stops, and you don't want it to. No matter how old they are, your role does change from caretaker to prayer warrior. They still need your comfort, your unconditional love, your advice, but only when they ask for it, and your unceasing prayers. Don't ever underestimate the importance and the value of praying for your children. Many of you are spiritual moms, leading many someones into the kingdom, and that has many, many rewards, but it's also full of responsibilities. And some of you are stepmoms, which comes with its own set of challenges. So how can we do all this? How can we possibly carry on our relationship with the Lord, take care of our marriages, our responsibilities with our children and our grandchildren and our spiritual children and our stepchildren? And then we have our households to take care of, all those kitchen duties and all those other things. And we have jobs, except for about 4 years when my girls were young. I have worked all of our lives, and so managing all of that with a job, as Angela has done, and my husband was also working, so he was not at home to take up that slack. So how on earth do we do it? How do we become that Proverbs 31 woman whose children rise up and call them blessed? Habakkuk 3:19 says, and this is in the Amplified, "The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to walk, to make spiritual progress on my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility." So he is my strength, he's my personal bravery, and my invincible army. Invincible! Hallelujah! God's word has upheld me and taught me how to trust him to become the mother and the grandmother and the spiritual mother that he wants me to be. So being a teacher, I did an acrostic with the words God's Word, and I'm going to just share some things with you that have worked with me over the years. There's not really anything awfully new, just things that have worked for me. So God's Word, so G is the first letter. Go on the path that God has set before you for your life. your calling, your destiny. Always listen to what He wants you to do and stay true to that path. Now, in Psalm 42, He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Well, as I walked along is over my whole life. He has steadied me and kept me on that path that He set just for me. And each of you have a path that God has for you. But also, you need to go on the path that He has for you daily. What does He want you to do today? How, when, where, with whom? You have divine appointments every single day. Be looking for them. Be listening for them. They are there, and God wants you to not miss those. And then model them and teach them. Model this, following a path, to your children and your grandchildren so that they will learn how to do that. Children learn by what they see more than what they hear. They do learn from what they hear, but they learn more from what they see. So what are they seeing you do as you walk through your day and as you go along your path? Okay, that's G, O, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, Romans 12:1. Allow Him to renew your mind and teach you His ways. Mothering is a sacrificial job, and you can't possibly do it without His help. D, don't let disappointment erode your faith. We all have disappointments, things that we wanted or we hoped for that just didn't work out, and we're disappointed. Or maybe it's disappointment for something your child wanted or worked hard for and didn't get. Sometimes things that hurt our children hurt us more than our own hurts. So, first of all, what do you do with that disappointment? It's okay to be sad and to grieve. God knows our human frailty. He knows that we need to have that time to cry, or that especially as women, or that time to be disappointed. But don't stay there. Pick yourself up, believe that God wants you to prosper and do well, and again, hang on to His word. Psalm 143:8, let the morning bring me word of His unfailing love. For I have put my trust in You. Show me the way I should go, for to You I lift up my soul. Listen for that unfailing word in the morning, that unfailing love. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you're just disappointed, get into the word. Believe God. Let your eyes see beyond this world to the hope that never disappoints. S, G-O-D-S, God's word, S. Sow seeds of God's love into your children, your grandchildren, other family members, mentees, and friends. This will enable them to become overcomers because of His love. It will give them a core of strength that absolutely nothing can break. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You put that seed, you give them those seeds, and God will fortify that and strengthen them. It will be right here. It will be right here. It will be their core, strong. Okay, that's God's. Now we're doing word, W-O-R-D. Worship, the W. Worship the Lord with all you have all day long. Whether you are changing diapers, going to your child's soccer game, cooking dinner, cleaning, going to your job, whatever you're doing, worship the Lord all day long. Say the name of Jesus often during the day to yourself and to others. There is such a mighty power in his name. That one line that stuck out to me in the song today, this is the name that shakes mountains. There's a mighty power in the name of Jesus. And just saying his name, just saying that name, there is power in that. Say it often during the day to yourself and to others. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will, God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You can be thanking him all during the day for the small things he does that we often don't consider. When you're with your children, thank him out loud so that they will learn to do that also. Thank him frequently. Call on his name frequently, out loud with your children. Okay, W-O, open your heart and mind to new paths that God may have for you. The path God set me on was to be a teacher, but I taught Spanish for many years, but I never imagined after retiring that I would be teaching English as a second language. So that was a new path for me. Be open to that. Also, he may have new paths for your children. Don't limit them. Let them go on the path God leads them on. R, remove guilt, false or real, that you are to blame for your children's decisions. Except for God, we are all imperfect parents. You have taught them well, but they will sometimes make bad decisions. We are God's children, and he has taught us well, but we also make bad decisions sometimes. It doesn't mean he is a bad parent. Remember God's amazing grace and forgiveness when this happens. His forgiveness cleanses us, and his grace covers us. We must also forgive our children and give them grace. Psalm 37:23-24. If a Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. And though he stumble, which you will do, and though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And finally, the D part of word, God's word. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. He is with you. Joshua 1:9. And so may we trust the Lord to be strong and courageous, and to not tremble and be dismayed. He is with us, and he is the one who enables us to do this job of motherhood.
Thank you, ladies. I know I got a lot out of all of that, and I'm so glad to hear I'm not the only one with dirty dishes in the sink when she goes to bed at night. I'm just going to pray for all of us, and we'll all just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for these precious women, Lord, and just the tidbits of wisdom that you brought forth in them today. Lord, I just pray that all of us, Lord, would just hide the things they said in our hearts, Lord. We'll just be reminded we're not alone in our journey as mothers, Lord Jesus, that you're always with us, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose not only for our lives but for our children's lives, Lord Jesus. And just use us, Lord, just to raise them up in the way they should go, Lord Jesus. I just pray now, Lord, for each woman in this room too, Lord, that just desires so much to be a mother, and it just hasn't happened for her yet, Lord. I pray as she's in that journey of waiting that you would encourage her and help her to know that, Lord, it's not because she's done anything wrong, but it's because the purposes and plans you have for her and her child is greater than anything she could have for herself, and that as she waits, Lord, patiently, that she can know your joy and your peace in that wait, Lord. And for each mother that's out there that is feeling overwhelmed and just even confused maybe about what path to take in her family, Lord, that you would just give her clarity of mind to know what you're calling her to do as a mom, Lord. I pray for just every person in this room, for every man, Lord, is here, that you teach the fathers how to be good fathers and how to be support to their wives, Lord. But I just ask today, Lord, that you just bless every family in this church, that they would just know that you're with them and that your presence would just rest in their households. And I just thank you, Lord, for this glorious day. Even if it rains, Lord, I know we can have the joy of the Lord in our hearts today. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.